Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and especially to you, Taylor, and to you, Spencer. Taylor and Spencer, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to respond simply by shaking your head, yes or no. Does it feel like the hard part is over? Who could blame you? You've completed years of catechism instruction. You came to class every week prepared for a quiz or a test. You have memorized multiple passages. You have memorized the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and every section called What Does This Mean? You've memorized terms such as justification, sanctification, and grace. And Thursday, you sat right up here and you answered over 100 questions about what you believe and what you have been taught. And so on this day of your confirmation, it feels like the hard part is over. But now let me ask everyone else here a question. And shake your head yes or no. Did your life get any easier the day after you were confirmed? See, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Taylor and Spencer, but I have to be honest with you. The hard part is not over. In fact, you can say the hard part is just beginning. Soon you'll be going to high school. And there you might have teachers who will teach things that are contrary to God's word. You will have people that don't believe the same thing you do. They find what you believe to be foolish, and so they will challenge your faith. You will have friends that will try to peer pressure you to disobey God. And so you have to deal with the decision, do I stand up for my faith or do I disobey God? And that's just high school. Every day of your life, Satan will constantly be tempting you. He will stop at nothing to take away your faith. And so you need to be strengthened by God day by day. Remember what the word confirmation means. It means strengthening. And so on this day of your confirmation, it's not like graduation that you no longer need to remember everything you've been taught. Instead, confirmation is just what this banner says right here. To grow in Christ, to be faithful, and to remember. And so as you continue your path of confirmation, I want you to remember these truths. One, you were rebellious. Two, you are victorious. And three, you will be glorious. So let's take a look at that first truth. You were rebellious. Taylor and Spencer, you have been taught and you confessed on Thursday that by nature, we are enemies of God. By nature, we hate Him. But you've also been taught and you confessed that this wasn't a part of God's plan. When God created mankind, when He created Adam and Eve, He made them in His own image, which means Adam and Eve were perfect and they loved to obey God's will. And God only gave them one command to follow, which was not to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. And He gave them that command so that they could show their love for God and that they could worship Him by obeying that command. But one day, Satan came and tempted Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed God from eating from that tree. They rebelled against God. And you saw that rebellious nature that Adam and Eve had in the first lesson this morning. When God came up to Adam and Eve, He said, "Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" And how did Adam respond? He said to God, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Adam was so rebellious that he refused to take blame for what he did. Instead, he put the blame on his wife, Eve, and he put the blame on God himself. Basically, he said to God, this never would have happened, Lord, but the woman that you gave me, she brought some fruit and I ate it. But Adam wasn't the only rebellious person. So was Eve. She said to God, the serpent deceived me and I ate. She refused to accept blame for what she did. She excused her actions by blaming Satan for what she did. And we may think to ourselves, how could Adam and Eve disobey God? How could they be this rebellious? But all you have to do is just look at yourself. We all have that same rebellious, sinful nature. In the psalm that we sang, we all confessed, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. As soon as we are all conceived, we have that sinful nature that is capable of committing countless rebellious acts against God. We have all broken God's Ten Commandments, and we break them each and every day. But when you disobey God and break His commandments, do you humble yourself and confess your sins to God? Or do you remain rebellious and refuse to take blame for what you do? Do you act like Adam and say to God, this never would have happened, Lord, but you put me in this situation, and I had no choice but to sin? Do you ever act like Eve and say to God, Satan was the one who tempted me to sin? Satan is the one who's really at fault here, not I. But even though Satan tempts you, you are the one who listens to Satan and rebels against God. And Taylor and Spencer, Satan is going to tempt you to be rebellious in another way. After the sermon, you will stand up here, and one of the questions that I will ask you says, do you intend to conform all your life to the teachings of God's Word, to be faithful in the use of the Word and sacrament, and to remain true to God as long as you live? And when you say, I do, and I ask God to help me, will you really mean it? Or will you be thinking to yourself that after today, there's no need for you to be in church anymore, that there's no need for you to be in God's Word anymore? And if that is what you are thinking, realize you will be rebelling against God, because you are making a promise to stay true and faithful to Him. And Taylor and Spencer, you know what happens to everyone who rebels and sins against God. Everyone who rebels and sins against God deserves eternal death in hell. That's what you deserve. It's what I deserve. It's what we all deserve. But notice that the first truth that I wanted you to remember is phrased, you were rebellious. Because the second truth I want you to remember is that you are victorious. You are victorious not because of anything that you have done, for you know that there is nothing that you can do to earn God's love and to earn eternal life in heaven. You are victorious because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He is your perfect substitute. Every temptation that Satan brings into our life, Jesus stepped in and fought against those temptations. He had the power to defeat Satan in all of his temptations. And you saw that power that Jesus had over the devil this morning. In the gospel, we heard about how Jesus could drive demons out of people. And he used that power to drive Satan out of your life. Remember that Jesus Christ has redeemed you, which means he has bought you back and set you free. He has redeemed you from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. And how did Jesus Christ redeem you? Taylor and Spencer, you know how he did that. Jesus Christ redeemed you not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Because Christ lived and died for you, you are now victorious. You are victorious over sin, for all of your sins have been forgiven. Jesus said this morning, I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven them. And you are victorious over death. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And you are victorious over the power of the devil. Even though by nature you are rebellious and you are God's enemies, at your baptism, God created faith in your heart and he created the new man that lives in you. And that new man loves to obey God's will. And what did Jesus say about those who obey God's will? He said, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister. You are now no longer enemies of God. You are his brother. You are his sister. You are now victorious. But that's not all. Not only are you victorious right now, but one day you will be glorious. And how do you know that you will be glorious? Well, Taylor, this is where your confirmation passage, which you have chosen, brings so much comfort. She has chosen Luke 23, verse 43. And Jesus said these words to the thief who was dying on the cross, and that thief said, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus said to him, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. And those same words apply to you and me as well. And one day when we die, Jesus will be right there and we will live with him in paradise. But that's not all. Not only will we be with Jesus in paradise the day that we die, but something truly glorious will happen on the last day. Paul said this morning, we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit. On the last day, Jesus Christ will raise our bodies from the grave, and our bodies will be transformed to be like Christ's glorious body, which means we will be holy, we will be perfect, we will be free from sin and free from any pain. We will be just like God created us, and we will live with him forever. And so we fix our eyes to that day that we will be glorious with the Lord. But at the same time, our eyes also see all the hardships that you will have in your life. Taylor and Spencer, there will be troubles in your life. There will be great difficulties. There will be challenges to remain true and faithful to God. But Spencer, this is where your confirmation passage brings us so much comfort. Spencer has chosen Psalm 23, verse 4, which says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Even though you walk through the valley of troubles, difficulties, and challenges, you don't have to fear any evil, for God is with you. He is always with you. He has been with you ever since your baptism, where he created faith in your hearts and clothed you with Christ's white robe of righteousness, which is why you're wearing white robes today. He will be with you in the sacrament of Holy Communion, where for the first time this morning you will receive Christ's body and blood, which is given for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And he will be with you in his word, where he will strengthen your faith in him. And so remember that the word confirmation means strengthening, and that you need to be strengthened by God each and every day. Paul said, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. You are spiritually renewed when you come to church and hear God's word to remember the truths that you have learned throughout your years of catechism. Remember that at one time you were rebellious. You have done nothing to earn God's love, but purely by his grace, God loves you even though you haven't deserved it. He loved you so much that he has redeemed you from sin, death, and the devil. And so now you are victorious. And because of Christ, one day you will be glorious. And so Taylor and Spencer, as you remain in Christ, Christ promises that he will remain in you. And he will raise you up from the dead. Remember these truths, not only on this day of your confirmation, but each and every day of your life, until you live gloriously with your Lord in heaven. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. May be seated. And during the offering, please sign the friendship register, which you will find at the end of your pew.